Yeah, it's going to be real interesting. Like, I like Pinto, and I remember everyone, like, and this is the thing that I think Sens fans need to start realizing. We need to stop looking at the draft. We really need to stop looking at a player being like, he was drafted way too early. You know who you can make an argument who was drafted way too late? Mark Stone. Sixth round pick, and now he's making $9.5 million. Pajot, drafted, I think, in the fifth round and making $5 million. Hoffman.
Welcome to the Sens Hour podcast, your number one source for Sens content, part of the Hockey Podcast Network, hosted by Shane from Ottawa and
Derek from Muskoka, almost near Leaf Country out here.
But I think Clevin was right up there because they traded up to get him with the Leafs. And again, they passed up some talented players for a guy like Clevin. But now Clevin's all of a sudden looking like a talented player himself. Like that goal that he scored in the third game in UND was outrageous. It was just not something you're expecting from the Twitter scouts, especially.
Sens Hour Podcast, your number one stop for all your Senators content. New episodes coming at you every Monday and Thursday, part of the Hockey Podcast Network. Have a good one. Stay safe.
Take care.
You've heard us talk about DraftKings, the leader in daily fantasy sports, and how payday can come every day by entering their contest with huge cash prizes up for grabs. This week is jam-packed with action, ranging from basketball to golf, and DraftKings has plenty of ways for you to have a front-row seat to all the action. Make a lineup on DraftKings has excitement every night and is simple to do. Draft your lineup and feel the sweat like never before. Every moment means more with the DraftKings lineup on the line. It's simple. Each player has a salary associated with drafting them. Assemble a lineup of players while staying under the salary cap. Sit back and watch the points pile up. DraftKings has paid over $7 billion to users across all sports. DraftKings is the leader in daily fantasy sports, so there is no better place to get in on all the action. Now all you need to do to play is download the DraftKings app and sign up using the promo code THPN. New users will get a free entry with their first deposit. That's code THPN to get a free entry with your first deposit only at DraftKings. Again, promo code THPN. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Hello, LA Kings fans and hockey fans, and welcome to episode 26 of season 2 of the Kings Den. Episode 96 overall, as always, presented by the Hockey Podcast Network. As always, I'm your host, Jordy Cunningham. Thank you so much for checking into this episode, episode 26 of the Kings Den. We got a lot to get into, big interview this episode, but I'd just like to start by saying, don't forget to like, rate, subscribe, and review here at the Kings Den. You guys are doing such a great job, the listeners. We love you guys. So don't forget to like, rate, subscribe, and review. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at the Kings Den THPN. You guys are just killing it with interaction on social media as well. So just keep bringing it up. Just keep coming. We want to keep getting this bigger and bigger. Also, don't forget to follow me. Of course, I'm your host, Jordy Cunningham. Don't forget to follow me on Twitter at Cunningham Jordy. Also, we're presented by the Hockey Podcast Network. We wouldn't be here without them. So don't forget to follow them on Twitter and Instagram at HockeyPodNet. Or on Facebook, just search the Hockey Podcast Network. On YouTube, just search the Hockey Podcast Network for all of the great video coverage coming out around the network. And don't forget to check us out on Patreon. For just $1, you can find all of our exclusive bonus content, including After Hours and so much more. And also, just back to like, rate, subscribe, and review. After you listen to this episode of the Kings Den and do that, go check out all the other great episodes around the network and like, rate, subscribe, and review to them as well, because everyone's just killing it around the network. all the podcasts for all 31 teams. A couple teams even have more than one podcast now, like the LA Kings here with the Kings Den and Kings Realm and a couple others. So definitely check them out, and don't forget to like, rate, subscribe, and review. This episode, episode 26 of the Kings Den, we welcome a special guest. We welcome Russell Morgan of Rink Royalty, a fan-sided website all about the LA Kings. He writes for them. He loves covering the Kings and talking about them. So he joins us on this episode. But just before we get into that, I want to know, what do you think? What's going to happen this week? This is going to happen. This is going to come out after Wednesday's game. So LA plays Arizona on Wednesday night. That should be a good game, interesting game. We mentioned that. Russell and I talk about that. And then back-to-back against St. Louis, who the Kings have played well against St. Louis this season. A couple big wins just on the road trip in St. Louis. One game that St. Louis really dominated. But other than that, it's been two games that the Kings should take. Binnington has looked shaky in net for St. Louis. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens over the course of these games. But it was just a great interview with Russell Morgan that we're going to get into here. We talk everything about the Kings this season. We almost go through every single player. We talk about who's on Russell's shit list. We talk about the resurgence of the veterans. We talk about he's big in favor of the hashtag play the kids movement. Play the kids. Vilardi's been killing it. Anderson's been killing it. But we talk about, like, why was Kapari called up and not play during the road trip and such. Play the kids, man. That's how this team is going to get better. And the resurgence of the leadership group has greatly helped as well. But we get into all of it. So enjoy this great conversation between me and Russell Morgan of Rink Royalty. And also, have a great weekend. Stay safe. Wear your mask. And we will talk to you on Monday for episode 27 of season 2 of the Kings Den. Enjoy this great interview. And now we welcome to the Kings Den Russell Morgan of Rink Royalty, a fan-sided website all about the LA Kings. Russell, how's it going tonight?
It's going pretty good. How are you doing today, Jordy?
I'm good, thank you, man. We've found each other on Twitter talking about LA Kings hockey. Of course, you work for Rink Royalty, a fan-sided website writing and covering the Kings. So I guess we'll just start quickly. Like, a quarter of the way through the season? What have you thought about the Kings so far this season?
Yeah, it's a lot more exciting than previous years, that's for sure. Yes. But the young kids are stepping up, and I know expectations were pretty low coming into the season. I know development was sort of the key word that was floating around, but a lot of young kids stepping up, and defenses look pretty good. I mean, you have young kids like Mikey Anderson and Tobias Bjornfoot looking pretty solid on the back end, and Matt Roy. I'm a big Matt Roy guy, so whenever he's in the lineup, I think we're going to be successful. But as well as goaltending as well. I think you got to be impressed with what Cal Peterson's been able to bring. And Jonathan Quick has had his ups and downs, but he's had a little bit of a resurgence lately. So that's been impressive.
It's definitely been an all-around effort so far this year from a team that where you expected a step up, but you didn't know how big of a step up it was going to be. And you see it's been a big one so far this year. I think it's kind of changed the expectations of the team so far. But just quickly, I want to say at the start of February, like, just covering the Kings, the start of February happens and you're kind of like, oh no, how much are we actually going to see an improvement of this team with going, what was it, 0-3 to start? And then all of a sudden the overtime loss or shootout loss against San Jose, and then six wins in a row. So it's great to see some improvement and just everyone coming together as well. But with that, and with them playing better, have your expectations changed for this season so far?
I wouldn't say my expectations have changed so much. I know people kind of riding the playoff wave, I guess you could say, but I'm still kind of pumping the brakes on that. I would like to see a little bit more development from this year. I would love to see them make playoffs. Obviously we would all like that in terms of the development, but it's all about getting the young kids more acclimated into the NHL. And I think that's kind of what we're seeing. I mean, we've seen Jared Anderson Dolan get a couple games and he's looked great. And like I mentioned, Tobias Bjornfoot has looked really good. And Mikey Anderson's playing top pair of minutes. So can't complain about that. And like I mentioned, you got to love what you're seeing out of Cal Peterson. So playoffs are definitely something that would be great to get into, but like I mentioned, development I think is the key word going forward.
Hashtag play the kids, am I right?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Seeing some of the development has just been awesome, and I want to get into a lot of it. But first of all, I just want to bring up you brought up Anderson Dolan. And is there, like, was that the most unluckiest time for him to get hurt? Like, that they finally find a line for those three with Anderson Dolan, with Moore and Grunstrom, and they were just absolutely rolling. It was so much fun to watch, and it was just a tough time for JAD to get hurt.
Yeah, that was really tough. I mean, 5 points in five games. Can't really get better than that as in your first couple games in the season. But and like you mentioned, that line was clicking. Grunstrom and Moore were playing really well, and all of a sudden he went down, and now they've kind of gotten the back seat again. So once he gets back, I'm sure they'll put him back all together, and we'll see how they go going forward. But I'm looking forward to, like you mentioned, hashtag play the kids. Let's get some more bodies in there.
Absolutely, for sure. And then I want to bring up Velarde as well, because he's kind of the big one in the rookie tour. Him and Anderson are kind of like the big ones for this year, Bornfoot as well. But Velarde is the guy that's putting up the points, you know, and to see him up with Carter and now Athanasiou instead of Kempe. I know you've kind of been on Kempe's case lately, but it's nice to see. Well, first of all, let's get you on Velarde and then on Adrian Kempe's play of late.
Yeah, Velarde. I had big expectations for Velarde coming into the season. I know his 5-on-5 play hasn't been really that great. He showed some flash, but it's weird. You see a lot of the capabilities that he has with the play on his stick, and in terms of like dangling and stuff like that coming into the zone. But then he kind of playing is a little too much, doing a little too much sometimes in the offensive zone. But I'd like to see him simplify his game a little bit, use his big body and try to set up. Now he's got Carter and Athanasiou playing with him. I'd like to see him do a little bit more of the simplified type of game going forward. And then in terms of Kempe, Kempe's an enigma to me. It's just you expect more out of a player like Adrian Kempe. And I almost want to see like, I almost want someone on the other team to just slap Kempe across the face and all of a sudden get him all mad, and so that way he plays with a little bit more anger throughout the game. Because there's some games where he just kind of disappears, and I'm just like, God, man, I want to see more out of Adrian Kempe. We've seen flashes of brilliance. I mean, he had that high profile coming out of Sweden, and it's just kind of been a little bit of a disappointment. So I think putting him down a little bit on the forward lines has kind of helped his game, especially we saw the last game in Minnesota. He contributed too, but I mean, he has 12 points on the year, and I think four of them are coming even strength. So something's got to change a little bit there. And
yeah,
with a player like Kempe, I don't see him being a top six player on a winning team. I think if he's playing bottom six role, I mean, like kind of like a Carl Söderberg, something like that along those lines, where he can play those kind of like dirty minutes and get to pucks to the net and see what can happen from there.
And you also see like the power play goal that tied the game Saturday night against Minnesota. Like, he absolutely fanned on that. That was a changeup.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it's one of those ones where that's just going to work sometimes. And it did there. Mm-hmm. It's definitely, as you can see, it was more last season and it got better, but now you're seeing it again, the inconsistencies in this game. And it's shitty to see that happening for sure.
Yeah. I mean, like I mentioned, the power play is kind of where he's excelled this season. Yeah. He looks pretty good when he's coming into the zone. I guess that that drop pass setup is kind of the wave of the NHL right now. I think if any team can come up with a defense to that, that's going to be something that everyone is going to have to jump on. But 12 points in the league and 8 on the power play, that's something you can be proud of. But during, like I mentioned, even strength is where he's got to kind of elevate his game a little bit. And we'll see.
Yeah. For sure. And then, of course, like we touched on it a little bit, but just Mikey Anderson, like the year he's having so far as a rookie, it's been so impressive to watch. He's playing the big minutes with Doughty, and it's just so impressive to see.
Yeah, definitely. I didn't expect Mikey Anderson to all of a sudden jump onto that first line with first pair with Doughty.
Yeah,
coming into the season, but that's definitely been impressive. And Mikey has that pedigree. I mean, with leading UMD to back-to-back national titles in his collegiate career and wearing the C for the United States during the World Junior Championships, like, you know, he has that pedigree where he can kind of lead the team. And I think he's learning a little bit of that from Doughty. I know he mentioned that today, how Doughty's leadership style is kind of rubbing off on him a little bit. So I love seeing that.
And I love seeing him fill into that role as well, not just because like he's a rookie and he's going to be in that role. I love seeing him do that so quickly, obviously, but also because like at the start of the year before the season started, it was all it was all, oh, Olimata is going to come in and play with Doughty. And then Olimata had what he does with every single team, where sucks for the first few games, had to be taken out. But now he's actually a guy that's been, he's doing what he does with every team, struggles. Then now he's kind of settling in and playing a lot better back there as well. And like you said, everyone on the defensive end has been very good so far this season, for the most part, except for McDermott.
Yeah, we'll save McDermott for later. But yeah, Olimata, we had high expectations coming into the year. I mean, that top pair was kind of talked up quite a bit with him and Doughty, in terms of Doughty bringing back his resurgence with that pairing. But those first few games with him kind of was a little bit more disappointing. And then he was a healthy scratch for a couple games. But ever since he came back, he's been looking pretty good. And I know that D pairing he had with Austin Strand, he looked really good. I mean, he was leading the team in Corsi percentage and expected goals for a couple games there. I believe it was the Blues series. And that was impressive. So it's good to see Olimata play a little bit better. I mean, you need players like that going forward.
Yeah, for sure. And then you mentioned Strand. And I just want to say probably the most impressive thing about the 6-game winning streak was how the lineup was different every single night. There was a change everywhere in the lineup, and they still came out and got the W every night. I thought that was super impressive.
Yeah, Austin Strand was definitely a surprise. I mean, at least to me. I mean,
yeah,
I didn't really going into the season, I didn't really expect Austin Strand to be playing big minutes for the Kings the early part. Yeah, so
yeah,
but that was, it's a good surprise. I mean, that's absolutely, you want player, if when you can find players kind of diamond in the roughs like that. I know he had big minutes in junior, so if he's able to bring that to the NHL, he's still young, so let's get his first couple of games in the NHL and see what he can bring.
Yeah, absolutely. And then also, I'll go over people that you mentioned quickly. You mentioned Matt Roy. I mean, like, he's just solid. Like, he's the best defenseman behind Doughty on the team. And it's just, it's like, he's so quiet, but he just gets everything done. He's just one of those guys. He's like a Chris Tanev kind of, where he just goes about his business, get everything done. He's just, it's fun to watch.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's been talk ever since the Kings Cup runs that we're kind of missing that kind of key piece defenseman, such as like a Rob Scuderi or Willie Mitchell, Robin Reguerre, kind of that kind of piece. And Matt Roy is all those and more. I mean, there's nothing more you can say. I mean, it's been really impressive to watch his game. And I know when he was out of the lineup, you went on that slump, and then all of a sudden he comes back in, they start winning again. So, I mean, there's something to see there. So I think Matt Roy going forward is something I've been kind of preaching, hoping that the U.S. Olympic team will kind of take notice and see if maybe they'll give, at least give him an invite, maybe to Beijing. Maybe we'll see Matt Roy play on the back end. He's been playing well. I mean, if you look at his analytical numbers, it's been one of the best. And I wrote an article on Rink Royalty how he was definitely, he had better analytical numbers than Cale Makar and Quinn Hughes in terms of his college rookie year.
Yeah.
So it's been impressive to watch, and having a player like Matt Roy kind of surprise a little bit of people coming to the lineup and be impressive has been fun to watch.
Yeah, no, for sure. He is very fun to watch. No, I don't want to go through every player, but I do at the same time, because just quickly, like we mentioned Tobias Bornfoot, and it's just so solid back there as a 19-year-old. And he's the guy I've been on right away. Like once the Kings drafted him, I was like, this guy's going to be the guy sort of thing. And then you kind of saw he struggled at the last couple World Juniors a little bit, and people were kind of like, is this really what we're going to see out of him sort of thing? But he is so solid. I love watching him back there. And I'm happy that they decided to keep him up instead of sending him down after the 7 games or whatever it was. I'm happy that they decided that he's a kid that needs to be playing up at the NHL level.
Yeah, for a 19-year-old to be playing his first 6 games this season and not be on the ice for a goal against, that's definitely very impressive. I mean, and he's still a rookie too, still technically a rookie. So,
yeah.
I mean, to have this be his first year, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what he can blossom into. I mean, can he be that top 4 D pair? I think he can be. And it's been interesting to see the Kings have been in the market for a dynamic type
young
left defenseman. So we'll see. I'm not too sure where that's heading. I don't know where they're really going to be looking, or what they're really looking for, or who they're looking to replace in terms of the back end, but we'll see what happens going forward. And you got to be impressed with Bjornfoot.
Yeah, absolutely. And those trade rumors as well, they wanted another young dynamic defenseman, but it's kind of like the prospect pool is so good. Who are you ready to give up at this time? Like, it's almost like you don't want to give up on anyone yet. You want to wait another year. I know you want to make the move, but I think in my mind, you have to wait another year before you trade one of the kids in this deep prospect pool.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I know there were some rumors with Vince Dunn earlier in the year. Yeah. That's kind of the type of player I'd be looking for if that was the the case. I mean, you're looking for a dynamic play driving defenseman. Vince Dunn fits that role. But there are other pieces out there. I know Dennis Bernstein from fourth period mentioned Rasmus Dahlin. I don't know if I'd go that far because then you're kind of giving up a lot of prospects get a player of that caliber. But like you mentioned, just let's see what these kids can do. I mean, Tobias Bjornfoot and Mikey Anderson have been very impressive, and they're only in their first years. Only give them a couple more years and see what they can bring.
For sure. And now let's move to goaltending quickly. We talk about Cal Peterson and Jonathan Quick. Like, this is Cal Peterson's net for his, pretty much. Like, he's the future of this team. And if the analytics are great for him, just the regular stats are great for him. It's been great to see his development so far this season. And it's great to see Quick playing well for the most part as well. He had the one bad game in Vegas, like really bad game in Vegas. But other than that, they've both been playing great.
Yeah, I mean, Cal Peterson, what more can you say? That's just
that's one of those things.
Yeah, he's just been impressive. I mean, we all knew the pedigree coming in. He was going to be a high prospect for the Kings in terms of the in net. So he's been good. So can't really say much more about him. But in terms of Quick, that's been impressive too. I mean, you didn't really know what you were going to get out of Quick coming in. You kind of knew he was going to be splitting some time with Cal Peterson. You didn't know how he's going to react to that, but he's kind of taken that role and kind of run with it and been impressive. So it'll be interesting to see if maybe he turns into a trade piece going forward. I personally would like to see Quick stay with the Kings just because of how much he's brought to the franchise in the last like 10 plus years. So, and then also you kind of got to look at the expansion draft coming up. That's going to be in the back of their minds as well.
So that's what I want your opinion on this. And that's what I've said from the beginning of when I started this last year, when the Hockey Podcast Network started and I started the Kings Den here. I've said from the beginning, Quick is going to look good in a Seattle Kraken jersey at this expansion draft. I think that's what's going to happen. I think they'll go old in goaltending. I think it'll be Quick and Holtby in net for the first year in Seattle. But what do you think?
Yeah, that's definitely something that's probably going to be on the mind of Kraken and all the management over there. I know, we all know what Marc-Andre Fleury brought over to the Golden Knights. That's kind of maybe they go that same route and try to hope Quick can bring that same kind of caliber of play. But in terms of I don't see them really taking on Quick. I think they're going to be looking for more of the youth factor from the in-team going forward. It'll be tough for the Seattle Kraken. I think teams have kind of learned a little bit from the mistakes that they made from the Golden Knights draft. I mean, you won't see players like Shea Theodore being traded over there just so that the Ducks can keep Josh Manson. So
yeah, for sure.
Trades of that caliber probably won't be happening as much this time around, but it would be interesting to see if the Kraken could go take a run at Quick. I mean, he would be beneficial for them. It's a good start in net for them.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think it would be as well. That's just been my prediction for the whole time, or since for a while now, but it's just going to be interesting to see what happens. Now, we've talked about the young guys. We've talked about the goaltenders. Let's get to the leadership of this group quickly and just almost a resurgence from the whole group. Like, they're the leaders. They've been here. They won the Stanley Cups. They're meant to lead this team. But like, Anze Kopitar is the best player in the division this season. And Drew Doughty is still, as everyone always says, like, kind of shit talks him a little bit. And now he's finally backing it up. Like, it's Drew Doughty comeback season. Of course, second in the league in minutes like he was last year. But Kopitar, Doughty, the whole leadership group has been killing it this season.
Yeah, Kopitar. I mean, what more can you say? I don't know how many assists he has. I think it's 19 on the year so far. But like you mentioned, he's probably been the best player in the Western Division. And Brownie, I mean, like those two have just – I mean, yeah, Brownie –
his kid's got to keep chirping him.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah. How many more players have kids that can Brownie, I mean, they've been look good. So you take Brownie off the penalty kill, give him a little bit more rest and throughout the 5-on-5 play, and he's definitely brought it forward. And that whole line with Eiffel has been impressive. So and then like you mentioned with Doughty, that's I mean the Kings are paying him enough. When you're paying a player $11 million a year, you're kind of expecting a little bit. And unfortunately Doughty was he was kind of bad the last few years. I'll say that. But he looks a lot better. I mean, I'm not sure his point total so far, but this year, but it's definitely been better. And I think that Mikey Anderson parents kind of helped him a little bit.
I'm pretty sure he leads the division defenseman in the division by points. There we go.
Well, I wouldn't doubt it.
Like, he's what? tied for second on the team in goals with Vilardi, mm-hmm. and I think Carter, and man, the resurgence of Carter as well. He needed all that time off, and he's came out flying at the start of the season and still has been.
Yeah, I was a little disappointed when they took Alfonso obviously was out for COVID protocols for a little while, but I was a little disappointed that they didn't put those two back together. They showed flashes of brilliance. I mean, how many 2-on-1s did we have in those first couple of games with those two just flying up the ice? I mean, I was kind of hoping they'd put him back together, and now that we do see him back together, that line's clicking again, and that's kind of where I was getting a little more critical of Kempe. But it's impressive to see, and I'm hoping that Carter's resurgence and Athanasio's speed will help elevate Vilardi's game a little bit.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think it will as well. And now, there, which way should I go? We're talking about that line, so I'll stick with this one. I'll let you do your ranting here. You, McDermott, no. Kempe, no. You're not on Team Blake Lizotte either, are you?
No, it's just a kid you want to like. I mean, he brings a lot of tenacity to his game for a small statured player, but I mean, when you see, obviously he's not in the same caliber as Kirill Kiprusoff, but when you see a small statured player like that play that well, and you kind of see what Blake Lizotte can bring, you're kind of hoping he can elevate his game a little bit. But I think it's time to Blake Lizotte, I mean, not to be mean or anything, I just don't think he's long for the Kings franchise going forward. So I've kind of been mentioning Rasmus Kupari and kind of seeing what he can bring, and I think it's time for him to kind of replace Lizotte and see what he's able to bring on that third or fourth line.
Now let's talk about that, because I forgot to bring this up when we were talking about the kids earlier in the year. Why bring up Kupari on the road trip and not play him?
Yeah, that was...
Now it's a head-scratcher.
Yeah, it really was. I mean, especially on the road. And the reason I kind of got a little bit excited when I saw them bring him up to the taxi squad is because I knew Ontario had a couple games coming up. So I'm like, okay, well, if they're going to elevate him to the taxi squad, and he's playing really well in Ontario, so there's a reason for that. There's a reason they're probably going to be playing him in a game. So to see him on the taxi squad and not get a couple games, and to see Ontario play their games without him on the roster, that was a little disappointing at first. I mean, I'm not gonna rant against Rob Blake. I mean, Rob Blake's kind of built this team, and Mark Iannetti and all that staff's kind of built this team from the ground up going forward, and they've done a great job. So I'm not going to question any of that, but that was a little bit of a head scratcher.
Yeah, no, I thought it was for sure. And just speaking of the kids quickly, just a quick Ontario Reign note I want to throw in. I saw that Samuel Fadjimo was Ontario Reign Player of the Week, and he has 7 points in 10 games in his last 10 games. So it's great to see the start he has for the Reign. But it was shitty to see Kupari get called up and not playing. It felt like a bit of a wasted opportunity. But now I want to get back quickly, just circling back here to one more thing, because you tweeted this a week or two ago as well. Just sign Alex Iafallo to his extension right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. 4 years, 4.5 mil a year. Do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
No one's holding you back.
that would be more than Toffoli. Do you think he's worth more than Toffoli?
Yeah, I mean, salary cap raises every once in a while, and I'm not sure what the next years or next few years are going to bring in terms of the salary cap. But I mean, he's brought some great forechecking to his game. I mean, that line and his combo with Kopitar has been great. I mean, Iafallo kind of does all the small little dirty things that line. He's not the flashiest of player, but he definitely does enough. I mean, analytically, analytically, he's bringing great Corsi numbers. He's at expected goal rate's been pretty high. So 4 years, 4.5. I don't think that's too high to ask for a player of Alex Iafallo's caliber, and I could see him being a part of this team's future. As far as a first line left winger, I don't think that's probably where he'll be playing. I mean, I know there's kids in the waiting, but I mean, left wing in terms of the Kings prospect pool is probably one of it's not as deep as probably center or right wing or defense. Mm-hmm. So Iafallo is definitely a kid that can stay around.
Yeah, no, for sure. I do agree as well. I think he's a good piece that can become, like, he's one of those in-between guys age-wise, right? But he's been playing on the first line, so I almost feel like he is a part of the leadership group of this team. And he's kind of like, the leaders do a great job, but he's kind of like the bridge gap for everyone as well.
Yeah, I called him a kid, and I was kind of thinking to myself, like, he's not a kid anymore. He's been in the league for so limited times. But, I mean, the left wing group, that's something that the Kings will probably have to look forward to. I mean, how long have the Kings been looking for a first line left winger?
Yeah.
Forever, it feels like.
Yeah.
I've mentioned there's going to be players available probably going forward. The Predators are probably in a fire sale mode. Yeah. So why not kick the tires on a player like Philip Forsberg, see what he can bring.
Yeah, no, for sure. I wouldn't mind that for sure. I would like that. Absolutely. There's a lot of movement that could happen with this team, and the rumors are swirling, and it's fun to see. And it's kind of interesting with, like, of course, this is a year unlike any other. So when the trade deadline comes, it's going to be interesting because, like, the Canadian teams are going to kind of trade with the Canadian teams because of the quarantine rules and stuff like that. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens when the trade deadline comes around.
Yeah, the Kings are in an interesting situation. I mean, if they're in a playoff spot when we get to April, close to April 12th, it's kind of be like, well, what do we do? Or what do the Kings do? I mean, the Kings have 7 picks in the first 4 rounds, 2 second rounders, 2 third rounders, and 2 fourth rounders. So it's, I mean, you can throw a second rounder and get a pretty high quality player.
Sure.
Try to see what you can do. But I don't think there'll be any big trades going on.
No.
I think in terms of any big offseason acquisitions, you got to probably wait till the offseason to maybe get a player like a Philip Forsberg or even maybe kick the tires on a Jack Eichel if he's available.
Yeah. I think the Kings are definitely a team that, playoffs or not, they could just stay status quo, kind of. Like,
you don't
really have anyone to trade for more picks, and you don't really have anyone you don't want to give up anyone on a big name yet. So it's kind of like, I think they should say status quo pretty much no matter what.
Absolutely. I don't think there's that many players. I mean, maybe Andreas Athanasiou, he's only signed on a 1-year deal. Maybe you can see flip him for maybe a fifth, sixth rounder, get something out of him. I don't think he's gonna be coming back. So
So
I don't know if there are going to be any big name players coming in towards the team toward the end of the year. Kind of like you mentioned, just stay status quo and see what these young kids can bring.
Yeah, for sure. Now, just almost done here. Just a couple more questions. Thank you for your time.
Yeah, no problem.
Just a fun one here. Was Saturday night the best jersey matchup you've ever seen?
By far. Jeez, gotta love that. It was purple. Oh, man. Those jerseys are great. I mean, at first I was a little caught off guard. Man, you got the Chevy logo with the form blue. That was a little different, but I mean, the more you look at them, it's like hard eyes all the way. But those Minnesota Wild North Star retro jerseys are pretty sleek too. Yeah,
it was a lot of yellow on the ice on Sunday night or Saturday night. Underrated a lot of yellow.
Yeah, yellow is a bright color. It's a bright, fun color. Why not have more of it?
Yeah, it is. And now, last question here. Let's get your predictions for the week. What happens? Well, I guess this will come out after Wednesday, but what happens Wednesday against Arizona and then Friday and Saturday against St. Louis?
Wednesday will be an interesting game. I know Arizona's probably going to have a little bit of vengeance on their mind. Losing those two at home to the Kings was probably a little bit of a little hurt them a little bit in the standings, but it'll be another tough, low scoring game. That's how the Kings and Coyotes always play those kind of 3-2 games, 3-2 Daryl Sutter type games. So I think we'll see another one of those. Maybe I think the Kings match up better when they're at home. So I think they'll be able to take that one. And then you got to look at the Blues as kind of the teams that the Kings are probably going to have their eyes on going forward in terms of playoff spot. And the Wild, I mean, it sucks to say because there's kind of a rivalry brewing now between the Kings and the Wild all of a sudden. So, but they look great. So I think they're gunning for a playoff spot. So you got to look at the Blues and kind of see what they're going to bring. So hopefully the Kings can get a couple more wins from there, but I think we'll see some fun games.
Yeah, no, for sure. I definitely agree as well. And the competition in this division is just so much fun. And seeing the Kings are exciting this season, and it's just, and they're scoring goals, and it's just so much fun to see that.
Yeah. I think they've got a lot of optimism. I mean, the Kings have only played one game against the Ducks, and we haven't even played the Sharks yet. That's what's pretty wild. So,
crazy.
I mean, and those are supposed to be the two cellar dwellers of the division. So, got a lot of points to be had. They've been playing well against the Wild. I mean, if the Wild are going to be as good as they are, I mean, can't be too upset with the record they showed. So, got a lot of games to be played.
Yeah, for sure. Russell, you have anything else you want to talk about before we get out of here?
No, you guys do great work at the Hockey Den. I love the work you do, Jordy.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. Russell, before I let you go, where can everyone find you?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at NHL Russell, or you can find us on Rink Royalty. Sometimes I tweet out the live games for them or the Ontario Reign as well.
Russell, thank you so much for joining us here at the Kings Den.
Awesome. Thanks, Jordy.